From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listeners, welcome back to the English service for Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today, we have a lot of information coming from our country, and we would like to begin with the news, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Merah Putih vaccine team to start animal testing late this year. OJK launches Banking Regulation Database mobile app. Now the news in details. Head of the Merah Putih vaccine team Bambang Brojonegoro delivered reports about the development of the Merah Putih vaccine to President Joko Widodo. Previously, President Joko Widodo mandated the Merah Putih vaccine team to accelerate the development of the vaccine on Wednesday. Bambang Brojonegoro, who is also Minister of Research and Technology, said that the vaccine progress has reached 50%.
Kami menyampaikan kepada Bapak Presiden bahwa lembaga Eijkman sudah memulai upaya pengembangan.
We told the President that the Eijkman Institute has started the development of the Merah Putih vaccine with the recombinant protein platform. The process has reached 50%. By the end of this year, we will start animal tests. So around January, Eijkman can hand over the vaccine seeds to PT Bio Farma for clinical trials. After completing the clinical trials, the Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, BPOM, will verify that this vaccine is safe to use and suitable for maintaining endurance against COVID-19. Then, it's mass-produced by PT Bio Farma. In estimation, in the fourth quarter of 2021, we can produce in large quantities and later complement the vaccine with Chinese Sinovac and G42 from the United Arab Emirates. Besides, Bambang Brojonegoro further stated that his side had invited several pharmaceutical companies to cooperate with the government to support the production other than Bio Farma, which will produce 250 million doses per year. They also invited several private pharmaceutical companies to take part in the COVID-19 vaccine production. So far, there have been three potential companies. They have to get permits from the BPOM and must prepare a line of production.
Dan untuk menunjang produksinya, selain Bio Farma yang tahun depan,
we hope that Indonesia can be independent in the provisions and development of vaccine. We must consider the initial research stage, and there is a possibility that every individual might need more than one shot. If the population is around 270 million, the minimum vaccine must be 540 million, and automatically a large production capacity is required. President Joko Widodo asked the Merah Putih vaccine team to work fast in producing the vaccine. However, Bambang Brojonegoro stated that President Joko Widodo also hopes that the team can produce a safe vaccine without negative effects. In the meeting with President Joko Widodo, the Merah Putih vaccine team was represented by Minister of Research and Technology Bambang Brojonegoro, Minister of Health Terawan Agus Putranto, Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir, Head of LBM Eijkman Professor Amin Subandrio, and Head of Food and Drug Supervisory Agency Dr. Penika Lukito. The Financial Services Authority, OJK, has officially launched a mobile app version of its Banking Regulation Digital Library more recently in a bid to improve the public accessibility of the extensive database. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, OJK Commissioner for Banking Supervision, Heru Cristiano, stated that the platform called the Online Banking Regulation Information System aims to provide a complete, up-to-date and easy-to-use database, as many stakeholders have found banking regulation confusing and ever-changing. The banking ecosystem, ranging from its products and services to infrastructure, has been developing rapidly, accompanied by risks, that are growing in complexity. Regulation have also changed quickly along with the development of the businesses. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, will assist the Health Ministry in setting a price ceiling for COVID-19 swab tests following numerous complaints over the high prices set for the tests in many private facilities. As reported by JakartaPost.com, BNPB Acting Deputy for Emergency Response, Dodi Roswandi, in a hearing with the House of Representatives Commission 8, overseeing disaster and social affairs on Wednesday, stated that private health facilities had set considerably high prices to profit from polymerase chain reaction PCR tests. The price for the agency's PCR test has been set a maximum at 500,000 rupiah or $33.7, in some 300 state-owned laboratories. It's very expensive in private laboratories because they are commercial and they have set their margins too high. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The White House, in a statement, stated that U.S. President Donald Trump spoke on Wednesday with Oman's leader, Sultan Haitham bin Tariq Al Said, about ways to enhance regional security and strengthen economic ties between the two countries. As reported by Reuters.com, President Trump thanked the Omani leader for his statement of support following a U.S.-brokered agreement by the United Arab Emirates and Israel to normalize relations. The statement said that President Trump highlighted the importance of the United States-brokered Abraham Accords announced on August 13 and thanked the Sultan for Oman's comment in support of the Israel-United Arab Emirates deal. Oman has been mentioned by Israeli officials as another country that could follow the United Arab Emirates lead in normalizing ties with Israel. But there was no mention of that in the White House statement. White House advisor Jared Kushner said last week that he hoped another Arab country would normalize ties with Israel within months. The U.S. will withdraw more than a third of its troops from Iraq within weeks. Its top Middle East commander, General Kenneth McKenzie, told reporters that the troop presence would be reduced from about 5,200 to 3,000 during September. As reported by Reuters.com, those remaining will continue to advise and assist Iraqi security forces in rooting out the final remnants of the jihadist group Islamic State, IS. Last month, U.S. President Donald Trump reaffirmed that he planned to pull all troops out of Iraq as soon as possible. He is expected to hail the reduction of forces as progress towards his 2016 election campaign promise to disentangle the U.S. from endless war. The presence of U.S. troops has also become a major issue in Iraq since the U.S. killed top Iranian general Qasem Soleimani in a drone strike in Baghdad in January. The UK's Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said his side must act to avoid another lockdown as virus cases rise in England. He set out a new rule of six, restricting gatherings to a maximum of six people, enforced by police able to issue fines or make arrests. As reported by BBC.com, Prime Minister Johnson also outlined a moonshot plan to control the virus with mass testing, possibly by next spring. It comes as the UK reported another 2,659 coronavirus cases, the fourth day running of over 2,000 reported cases. He wants to be absolutely clear, these measures are not another national lockdown. The whole point of them is to avoid a second national lockdown. At least 10 people have been killed in a roadside bomb attack in the Afghan capital Kabul that targeted first Vice President Amrullah Saleh. The Vice President Saleh, a former head of the Afghan intelligence services, escaped with slight burns on his face and hand. As reported by BBC.com, the bombing came as Afghan officials and the Taliban prepared to begin their first formal talks. Taliban spokesman Zabinullah Mujahid said in a tweet that the militant group was not responsible for the blast. Footage filmed shortly after the explosion showed a large plume of black smoke rising from the scene. Tariq Arain, a spokesman for Afghanistan's Interior Ministry, said The roadside bomb targeted Saleh convoys as the officials traveled to work. Iran said 10 civilians who work in the area were killed and 15 people, including Saleh's bodyguards, were wounded. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
Semboyan kami angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara, semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Listener, here's today's commentary titled Keeping the Neutrality of State Civil Apparatus During Simultaneous Regional Election 2020. One of the crucial problems during the regional election that will be simultaneously held in 270 regions on December 9, 2020 is not only about people's participation, but also keeping the neutrality of the state civil apparatus. The state civil apparatus neutrality is regulated in Law Number 5, Year 2014. The Article 70, Verse 1 of the law says that state civil apparatus involved in the candidate's campaign can be charged 6 months of imprisonment. Based on the data from the State Civilian Bureaucracy Commission, until August 2020, there were 499 reports on suspected neutrality violations. Then, after further investigations, 389 state civil apparatus were proven guilty. The neutrality violations done by them included giving support for prospective candidates on social media or mass media, introducing prospective candidates through campaign equipment, attending activities that benefit the candidates, declaring themselves as prospective candidates, inviting or intimidating people to support a candidate. State civil apparatus neutrality is important to avoid division and conflict of interest, as well as to guarantee the bureaucracy as the keeper of unity in the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. Therefore, neutrality must be kept and monitored so that the regional election can be fair and honest between the candidates who have power and those who do not possess power relations in the government bureaucracy environment. Therefore, to keep the state civil apparatus neutral, Ministry of Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform, together with Ministry of Home Affairs, National Civil Service Agency, State Civilian Bureaucracy Commission, and Election Supervisory Board had read it joint decree on guidance for monitoring state civil apparatus neutrality in simultaneous regional election 2020. The joint decree signing was done on September 10, 2020, at the Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Ministry Office in Jakarta. The decree aims to be the guidance for the government institutions in keeping the neutrality of their state civil apparatus, especially during the simultaneous regional election 2020. Besides that, to build synergy, effectiveness, and efficiency in monitoring state civil apparatus neutrality and realizing legal certainty towards neutrality violation. It is certainly expected that the violation of state civil apparatus neutrality will not happen again, or at least is kept at the minimum level with the synergic monitoring. And listener, that was the commentary today.
Selamat siang, Radio Republic Indonesia. I'm Wans Kim, Director of International Relations of KBS Korea. On behalf of KBS, I'd like to express my heartfelt congratulations on the 75th anniversary of RRI. RRI and KBS have a long history of cooperation on variety international activities, especially at the ABU, Asia-Pacific Broadcasting Union. I can easily find our future relation in your slogan, "Sekali Dudara, Tetap Dudara." Yes, I'm sure, once we are friends, we will always be a good friends. Once again, congratulations on your 75th anniversary. My colleagues and I wish RRI all the best, great success in the future. Terima kasih.
Listener, in our regular program Today in History, we start from an event on September 10, 1912, when Islamist Trade Union led by Chokro Aminoto changed to be Islamic Union. In the past, the Islamic Union had named Islamic Trade Union, which was established on October 16, 1905. Islamist Trade Union was the first organization in Indonesia. Earlier, the organization, which was established by Saman Hudi and his friends, was an organization of Islamic traders who opposed the Dutch politic that gave flexibility of the foreign traders to dominate people's economy at the time. At the first Congress of the organization in Solo in 1906, its name was changed to be Islamic Union on September 10, 1912, because of political and social situation at the time. Hosjo Kraminoto made a formal appearance to the notary B. Terquile in Solo to make Islamic Union as legal entity with new budget of Islamic Union that got recognition and legalization by the Dutch government on September 14, 1912. He changed the wider jurisdiction of Islamic Union, which in the past only included economic and social, political and religious problems, to give the spirit of Islamic struggle in the spirit of people's struggle on colonialism and imperialism at the time. The next event is that in 1945, pioneer of Indonesian Navy, Sea People's Security Agency, was established. Indonesian Navy is part of Indonesian military, which is responsible for the sea operation, and it is led by the Chief of Staff of the Indonesian Navy. The power of the Indonesian Navy consists of two fleets: Western Fleet centers at Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta, and Eastern Fleet Centers in Tanjung Perak, Surabaya, and Military Sea Cross Command. The history of the Indonesian Navy began on September 10, 1945, when the government established the Sea People's Security Agency. The agency was spearheaded by sailors who had duty in the Navy ranks of the Dutch and Kaigun in the Japanese colonial. The establishment of Indonesian military organization, which was well known as People's Security Army, also triggered the existence of Sea People's Security Army, which was well known as Indonesian Navy, with all of the strength and ability. The last event is that in 1974, Guinea-Bissau gained its independence from Portugal. Guinea-Bissau is a state in West Africa. The state shares borders with Senegal in the north and Guinea in the south and east and Atlantic Ocean in the west. In the past, Guinea-Bissau was part of Kabu Kingdom, which was part of Mali Empire. Part of the kingdom survived until the 18th century, while some other parts were part of Portugal Empire. Thus, Guinea-Bissau became part of the colony of Portugal, Guinea-Portugal, in the 19th. After the independence was declared in 1973 and recognized on September 10, 1974, the name of its capital city, Bissau, was added in the name of state to avoid confusion with Guinea state. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Sudah sewindu ku di dekatmu, ada di setiap pagi, di sepanjang harimu, tak mungkin bila engkau tak tahu bila ku menyimpan rasa yang ku pendam sejak lama. Setiap pagi ku menunggu di depan pintu, siapkan senyum terbaikku agar cerah harimu. Cukup bagiku melihatmu tersenyum manis di setiap pagimu, siangmu, malammu. Sesaat dia datang, pesona bagai pangeran, dan beri kau harapan. Walang cinta dan masa depan, engkau lupakan aku. Semua usahaku, semua pagi kita, semua malam kita. Depan pintu dan tak ada lagi tutur manis ku merayumu. Setiap pagi ku menunggu di depan pintu, siapkan senyum terbaikku agar cerah harimu. Cukup bagiku melihatmu tersenyum manis di setiap pagimu, siangmu, malammu. Sesaat dia datang, pesona bagai pangeran, dan beri kau harapan. Bualan cinta dan masa depan, engkau lupakan aku. Semua usahaku, semua pagi kita, semua malam kita. Bila kini nyatanya engkau memilih dia, takkan lagi ku sebodoh ini larut di dalam angan, angan tanpa tujuan.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia. Next, we got more information for you in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling Ministry of Environment and Forestry mentions that some regions have not yet implemented plastic reduction regulation. Although policies on single-use plastic restriction have been issued in several regions, some local governments have not fully implemented the regulation. This was said by the head of Subdirectorates of Goods and Packaging of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Ujang Solihuddin Siddiq, during a virtual discussion on a plastic-free area forum held by the Indonesian Plastic Bag Diet Movement, as reported by Antara on Tuesday. The single-use plastic restriction policy has been issued in 2 provinces and 35 districts or cities. Related to this matter, Ujang Solihin Siddiq encourages non-governmental organizations or NGOs engaged in the environmental sector to monitor and evaluate the effectiveness of implementing the policy and verify data related to plastic waste. The result will show whether the regions have successfully implemented the single-use plastic reduction policy or just simply made regulation without real implementation. This is important because the data is a measure of the successful performance of reducing plastic waste. This waste reduction data will contribute directly to the target of reducing waste in the framework of regional policies and strategies for household waste management and the like in each city. Ujang Solihin Siddiq emphasized the importance of this data since it will affect the target of 30% reduction of national waste by 2025. According to him, the verified data will also be the basis for the Ministry of Environment and Forestry to recommend regions that are eligible to receive regional incentive funds. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusmawati.
Semboyan kami angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara, semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti.
Greetings from Prasar Bharati, Doordarshan and All India Radio to Radio Republic Indonesia on the 75th anniversary. I'm very pleased to learn that RRI has completed 75 years of public broadcasting. This is a very difficult period for all of us across the planet with the COVID-19 pandemic, and I'm sure that RRI is playing a very crucial role in informing and creating awareness within the citizens of Indonesia as its role as a public broadcaster. Very happy that Doordarshan and All India Radio have been collaborating with RRI over the decades through the Asia Pacific Broadcasting Union, and most recently we all together collaborated and produced the song for World Peace, which will go a long way in sending the message of brotherhood and togetherness for humanity in this very difficult period. Once again, my best wishes to RRI on its 75 years.
Yang dulu, yang dulu pernah isi hatinya. Namun aku takkan peduli, yang penting dia mulai tahu. Sungguh aku mengharapkan cintanya. Untukku
isi hatinya. Namun aku takkan peduli, yang penting dia mulai tahu. Sungguh aku mengharapkan cintanya.
Still with us, a voice of Indonesia. Next one, we'll present you some information about our tourism and also our local wisdom while in this pandemic in which you cannot go to visit our countries. So make sure that you will listen the next one. The next one is Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Tuli Tuli Culinary from Sabi, Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listener, Bhutanese people in Southeast Sulawesi have a habit of consuming processed cassava and corn as their staple food and also fresh fish. The typical food of Bhutan are made simply including ingredients, the process, and the way to serve it. Most of typical Bhutan culinary are made from cassava, such as tuli tuli. This food, which is formed like 8 numbers, is a favorite food of the people of Bhutan Island because it tastes delicious. The main ingredients is cassava, shallots, and salt. Tuli tuli is usually served with chili sauce. It's served separately with the chili sauce or mixed with the chili sauce, depends on the taste. To make fried tuli tuli, cassava is firstly shredded. After the cassava dough is pressed firmly so that the water comes out until it dries. The dried cassava is then split into two parts. The first part is mixed with water, shallot slice, and salt. Then heat it until it becomes a thick dough. After that, it is mixed with the grated cassavas that has dried. The two doughs are then mixed. When the dough is mixed, just take one small circle, then it is formed like the 8 number. Then it is right. Tuli-tuli tastes savory when being eaten. This culinary will taste more than delicious when you are eating it while dipping it in the chili sauce. People of Bhutan Island prefer to enjoy fried tuli-tuli in the afternoon and at night. So, the sellers will only sell it in the late afternoon until evening. It is not difficult to find tuli-tuli in Bhutan Island. This food is also commonly sold with other fried foods such as fried bananas, fried sweet potatoes, and fried breadfruit. It is affordable price around 1,000 rupiah to 2,500 rupiah per piece. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Nufi Kusmawati. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Happy birthday, RRI. My name is Ankur, and I represent BBC Media Action, the international development charity of the BBC. We are proud to have a partnership with you in playing a critical role in addressing mis- and disinformation in this challenging time. RRI, you connect people from rural to highly populated urban areas in Indonesia. And it's great to know that as a public service radio, this year you're building studios in remote areas such as Nunukan, Putasibau, Malinau, Sampang, and many others. It shows commitment to serve audience needs. RRI, you're doing great work in the area of disaster risk reduction and humanitarian response. During COVID-19 pandemic, RRI partnered with local government, BBC Media Action, and other organizations to provide meaningful and trustworthy information. This information saved lives. Going forward, we are going to address the secondary impacts of the pandemic on the economy and on mental well-being of the people. On your Diamond Jubilee, RRI, we hope that you continue your commitment to public interest media. We believe that you can continue to embrace emerging digital technologies and appropriate them to serve public interest. RRI, Sakali Mengudara, Tetap Mengudara.
Alright, more information from Indonesia is still coming up. The next one will be Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on smokeless garbage incinerator. Listeners, last September 3rd, Governor of West Java, Ridwan Kamil, launched Stangta Tan Pindad, an environmentally friendly waste detraction product created by Indonesia children at Pakuan Building, Bandung. Stangta Tan Pindad is a solution in handling waste problems by using smokeless incinerator technology, a waste burning machine that adopts environmentally friendly and energetically efficient technology. Director of Industrial Products Business of PT Pindad, Harry Hariswan, said that Stangta Tan Pindad is an innovative solution that is beneficial for the environment and is ready to be produced massively. He further stated that the presence of this product can improve environmental quality, development of social aspect and health, especially amid the COVID-19 pandemic conditions. Stangta is claimed to be an environmentally friendly incinerator that does not produce smoke and other harmful substances because it has been through double burner combustion filters and smoke treatment. The stove system is claimed to be efficient in using fuel. Garbage burning can be carried out continuously because it does not use the combustion chamber door opening system like other incinerator products, which require the burner to be extinguished before adding new garbage. Stangta's burning temperature ranges from 800 to 1200 degrees Celsius, which is claimed to be able to destroy all types of dry and wet garbage. The result of combustion is dominated by remaining 5% of the initial volume of garbage. Stangta also has a compact design, small size, and it is easy to move because it has an independent power source. Stangta Ten Pindad is the result of cooperation between PT Pindad and PT Top Techno Indo or Hejo Techno. Both companies began to collaborate on Stungta production by signing the MOU on July 26, 2020. Cooperation is related to joint production, certification activities, and other business activities. The product aims to be a garbage residue processor, namely the garbage selection that cannot be reused. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Listener, we still got one more song for you, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Voice of Indonesia, it is nice to meet you again in Music Corner. Today, I present a song to you by Rafika Duri. The name of Rafika Duri began to popular since she presented two songs composed by Arianto, namely Hanya Untukmu and Tertusuk Duri in the 1970s. Besides made her name popular widely in the country's music industry, the song Hanya Untukmu also earned her the Gayagam Award at the 1978 International Song Festival. The song tells about the story of someone who falling in love so that the beloved is always in their mind. Listener, here is the song Hanya Untukmu, sung by Rafika Duri. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
It's been almost an hour, we from Voice of Indonesia accompanying you in this English program. You have listened to so many information and also good music from our country. Please do not hesitate to tell us what you think. Send it to our email voi@voinews.id or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well, then, listeners, thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.